Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. We have a few clouds now and 47 degrees. One person is dead, one injured after someone fired shots into a house in North Wichita last night. The shooting occurred just after 11 p.m. in the 2300 block of Mascot. A man and woman were injured. No arrests have been reported by police. Much of California is dealing with potent winds and wildfire danger.
The Mountain Fire northwest of L.A. has exploded in size and forced some evacuations. Several homes damaged, too.
Firefighters were right off the bat engaged in pulling people out of their houses and saving lives.
Ventura County Fire Captain Trevor Johnson.
Crews, dozers, engines. We've called every available resource to the incident. We're working with our partners to bring quick resolve to this incident, but this is a tough firefight.
Several homes in the Tawny Malibu area have also been burned by the broad fire. Wind gusts getting over 60 miles an hour and lashing those flames into a frenzy. More fires may be on the way as the National Weather Service has posted some red flag wildfire warnings from Northern California all the way to San Diego. Jill Nato, Fox News.
Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign for commander-in-chief is over.
Standing on stage in front of the historic Frederick Douglass Memorial Hall on the Howard University campus, Vice President Kamala Harris talked about what she said during her concession call to President-elect Donald Trump.
I also told him that we will help him and his team with their transition, and that we will engage in a peaceful transfer of power.
While she conceded, she said she intended to continue the fight that fueled her campaign, telling supporters, quote, it's not time to throw up our hands, it's time to roll up our sleeves. At Howard University, Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
Sedgwick County Election Commissioner Laura Rainwater tells KNSS News Tuesday's election went smoothly.
Other than the 6 o'clock a.m. burst that we see with every election, there were no lines all day. In fact, this is the first year, I believe, that early voting numbers are higher than election day numbers.
Rainwater says turnout will be less than expected, around under 65%, and she can't explain why. President Biden will address the election results when he speaks to the nation tonight.
The speech comes just a day after Vice President Kamala Harris officially conceded to President-elect Trump by phone and during a concession speech at Howard University. The White House says President Biden spoke to both candidates and congratulated them on their races. President-elect Trump was also invited to meet with the commander-in-chief at the White House. According to the White House, the president expressed his, quote, commitment to ensuring a smooth transition and emphasized the importance of working to bring the country together. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Investigators say a man who died in a Wichita parking lot Wednesday morning was hit by his own vehicle as he was allegedly trying to steal a furnace filter. It happened in the Westlake Ace Hardware parking lot at Douglas and Hillside. Police say a 69-year-old man got out of his van to get the furnace filter, but he left the vehicle in drive and the van pinned him to a fence. The man died at the scene. KNSS News Time now, 6:04, 4 minutes past 6 o'clock. KNSS News Time now, 6:07, 7 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday morning. Several large airstrikes hit Beirut's southern suburbs this morning, including one on a site adjacent to Lebanon's only international airport. The Israeli military had issued an evacuation notice for the site, saying there were Hezbollah facilities there without giving details. The Israeli military also announced it's expanding its ground operation in northern Gaza, where Israel says Hamas militants have regrouped. President-elect Donald Trump has some decisions to make about who will join his cabinet. Fox's Aisha Hasney has details on who could be on that short list.
President-elect Trump is now hiring. He will first need to find a chief of staff and also make some pretty important cabinet secretary positions and picks. He has previously talked about RFK Jr. and letting him, quote, go wild on health care. He's spoken about giving Elon Musk a Department of Government Efficiency department to rein in the government. And also Trump's campaign manager, Susie Wiles. Her name has been tossed around D.C. circles as a potential chief of staff, but nothing has been announced just yet. We got a new statement from his transition team, which reads in part, in the days and weeks ahead, President Trump will be selecting personnel to serve our nation under his leadership and enact policies that make the life of Americans affordable, safe, and secure.
Senate Republicans reportedly plan to hold confirmation hearings at the beginning of 2025 to help the president-elect hit the ground running as soon as he's inaugurated. The FBI says it has foiled a New York man's plot to join ISIS and wage jihad in Syria.
Federal prosecutors say Saeed Aman wanted to kill Americans and become a martyr for ISIS. Instead, today he is behind bars, arrested at JFK Airport before boarding a flight to Qatar. He came to the attention of federal agents after posting support for ISIS in an online forum and talking to a federal informant about his plans to join the terrorist group. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
No charges will be filed following the death of a child at a North Carolina camp.
Prosecutors announced involuntary manslaughter charges will not be filed following the death of Clark Harmon. The 12-year-old died earlier this year at Trails Carolina, a nature therapy camp in Transylvania County. The boy was apparently upset about being told to sleep in a small camping enclosure known as a bivvy, but counselors did not realize he was in any medical distress. A medical examiner ruled Harmon died from asphyxiation. He previously suffered from anxiety, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and migraines. While counselors will not face charges for Harmon's death, Trails Carolina has permanently closed. Tom Graham, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:10, 10 minutes past 6 o'clock.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras showing the traffic volumes are, well, they're picking up, but they're still fairly light, so we're really not seeing too many big problems out there. The heaviest traffic that I've been seeing recently, north and southbound on Oliver, and that is Spirit Aero Systems area right around MacArthur Road. Some pretty heavy traffic right there. Also some fairly heavy traffic on the ramp from westbound Kellogg to northbound I-235. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Is there more rain in the forecast? Let's check it out with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
More clouds move in today. Only a 10% chance of rain, though. After a chilly start this morning in the 40s, cool afternoon with a high of 58. Winds are going to be breezy out of the northeast at 10 to 20 miles an hour, turning damp tonight as rain chances go up. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Now a few clouds, a northeast wind at 9 miles per hour. 44 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Today is Thursday, November 7th, and we had a partly cloudy day across south-central Kansas Wednesday. Wichita's high temperature was 64 degrees, normal high 61, so we were a little bit warmer than normal yesterday. On this date in 1951, around 7 a.m., an extremely brilliant flash, a huge ball of fire, and a terrific roar occurred over parts of Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. This was caused by a disintegrating meteor. Windows were broken in and near Hinton, Oklahoma. That's about 50 miles west of Oklahoma City. And in 1951, if that happened, without the modern media to tell them what it was, I bet a lot of people were scared to death.
Yeah.
Wow. And that was right about the time when there was so much publicity and movies about UFOs going around, too. 1951, so I bet there are a few people who were really upset till they found out it was just a meteor. On this date in 1916, Jeanette Rankin of Montana won election to the U.S. House of Representatives, thus becoming the first woman elected to either chamber of Congress. And that was in 1916. And women wouldn't have the right to vote then for another, 2 years, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
She couldn't even vote, but they elected her.
And interesting,
I think she inherited that seat In fact, her husband died, and she was in that seat. She took the seat, and then, but she's the first elected.
Yeah, yeah,
by herself. So
must have done a good job.
Yeah, really, must have won over her colleagues.
Yeah,
Donald Trump has already appointed 3 Supreme Court justices. In his second term, he could well have a chance to name 2 more, creating a high court with a Trump-appointed majority that could serve for decades. The decisive outcome spares the court from having to wade into election disputes. It also seems likely to change the tenor of cases that come before the justices, including on abortion and immigration. So any of these cases that are ahead for Donald Trump, you know, and if they go to the Supreme Court, yeah, you know, you can pretty well they'll have their way, whatever they want. 2 eldest justices, Clarence Thomas is 76, Samuel Alito is 74, and they could consider stepping down knowing that Trump, a Republican, would nominate replacements who might be 3 decades younger and ensure conservative domination of the Supreme Court through the middle of the century or beyond. Good morning, Ted Woodward.
Hello.
Wow. So, yeah, this... something to think about. I was thinking about that the other day. What's going to happen with the Supreme Court? And still no, we don't have any final say on the U.S. House of Representatives, how that balance is going to play out. Senate's going to be, Republicans are going to have the majority there. Hey, how about this? You see what's in that coffee cup there? I'll bet you can guess what it is.
Prairie Fire Coffee.
Prairie Fire Coffee. Now, how did you guess? You're on the ball this morning. Way to go. All right, Steve and Ted here on KMS.
That's in your mug.
It's in my mug.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can borrow. You're the coffee drinker, not me.
Yeah. You can borrow it any time you want to. But then,
okay, thank you.
Please then wash the cup out after you're finished.
Gotcha.
All right, let's see. What else is going on? Shelley and I, yesterday afternoon, we went to an appointment, and then we went over by the drugstore to pick up some drugs that we had over there. And we were getting close to supper time, so we decided, where can we go? Well, we wound up at the new Freddy's in our neighborhood over in Amadon. And it was not a mistake. Freddy's still putting out a great burger.
What, 21st in Amadon?
Yeah.
You consider that new?
Yeah.
Hasn't that been there for like 6 or 7 years?
I've lived in that neighborhood for 50. So, yeah, it's new.
Okay. Gotcha.
I consider, yeah. Well, there's a chicken place there, a Popeye's. The building's there. But nobody's in there. I mean, it's been there for a while. I don't know how long. But, yeah, nobody's in there. They just built a building, and I guess they couldn't find any people to work. I don't know. So there you go. Keeping track of Freddy's. But, you know, it was a nice little meal. So
always is. Freddy's always gets you taken care of.
All right. Yesterday afternoon, my rear was dragging a little bit. I didn't cover the election, but, you know, the next morning we're putting all that together. I was just kind of tired yesterday. Maybe it's just my age showing. I don't know. Wait, later on this morning, we have...
No, I think we were all tired.
We're all?
For some reason.
Later on this morning, in the 8 o'clock hour, I've got Fox News Radio's Ryan Schmell's going to be with us. And we're going to talk about that in the House and whether the Republicans are going to have a majority, the Democrats. You know, we're going to have some more information with Ryan Schmell's from Fox News Radio. So looking forward to that.
Good.
Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And let's take a look at leadoff sports this morning with Ted Woodward, sir.
Yeah, it's Thursday, so we get another week of the NFL getting going. And tonight we are in Baltimore. It's the Cincinnati Bengals visiting the Baltimore Ravens. Remember, those were the first 2 teams the Chiefs beat in the first 2 games of the season at Arrowhead on their way to an 8-0 start. Both have recovered quite nicely. Cincinnati has won 3 of its last 4. The Ravens have won 6 of their last 7. And Baltimore is a 5.5-point favorite on home field tonight. Thursday night football, Bengals-Ravens. Coverage begins at 6:30 this evening. You can hear that game over on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Speaking of the Chiefs, of course, the Chiefs play on Sunday afternoon hosting Denver. And we'll get have our usual Thursday morning feature, A Minute with Mitch. Get a 60-second preview of that one coming up with the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtus. That'll be 2 hours from now, right after the 8 o'clock sportscast. So be here for the Minute with Mitch in a couple hours. All right, high school football playoffs. We're into the regional round. Because of the forecast of thunderstorms tomorrow night, 9 games here in our part of the state have been moved to tonight. So we got 9 playoff football games tonight instead of tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So take note of that. In Class 6A, East is going out to play Dodge City. Both teams are 6-3. That's tonight. Here in town, you've got Wichita Northwest at 8-1, hosting Wichita South at 6-3 tonight. In Class 5A, we've got Liberal visiting Hutchinson. Both teams are 7-2. Mays South is visiting Goddard Eisenhower. Eisenhower is 7-2. Mays South is 6-3. And in Class 3A, you've got Clay Center at 5-4, visiting undefeated Andale. That'll kick off at 6 o'clock tonight. So we'll have more on some more games that are tonight instead of tomorrow night coming up in sports next hour. There's some of your high school football playoff matchups for tonight. High school boys soccer. We had state semifinal games last night. In Class 5A, Mays South winning on home field, beating St. James 3-2. Mays South will play for the state championship in boys soccer with a record of 18-2. Among the smaller schools, whoa, what a win for Rose Hill last night on home field, beating Bishop Miege, a shutout, 2-0. So Rose Hill goes into the state championship game with a record of 18-1, and this ends 8 years in a row, Bishop Miege state champions. Not anymore.
Wow.
Rose Hill shut him out last night. So it's Rose Hill playing for the state title. And they'll be going up against Wichita Trinity, which won on the road at Baldwin. Game at Baker University. Wichita Trinity won that game 3-1, advancing to the championship game with a record of 16-4. So there's your boys' soccer. In college men's soccer, got a good game tonight on the west side of town. Newman hosting 16th-ranked Fort Hays State in the regular season home finale for Newman. These are two of the top four teams in the conference. Nationally ranked team taking on Newman tonight, 7 o'clock on the west side. College volleyball. Boy, McPherson keeps rolling on. The McPherson college volleyball team with a sweep on the road at Tabor, 3-0. The McPherson volleyball team ranked 17th in the nation. They have now won 15 in a row, 26-5 now on the season. And, of course, the beat goes on for the Cowley volleyball team, sweeping Coffeyville in Arkansas City last night, 3-0 in the district semifinals. Cowley volleyball team now 35-0 on the season. Of course, they were undefeated national champs last season. That gives Cowley a 76-match winning streak.
Wow.
As they advance into the championship match of district play here in the postseason. So they just keep rolling right along.
That must be a pretty good volleyball program.
Yep. Wow. In men's soccer, we had a district semifinal game last night in the JUCO ranks. Talk about the Cowley men's soccer team. They're ranked 5th in the nation, and they win at home, beat Seward County, shutout, 4-0. In the last 8 games, the Cowley men's soccer team undefeated, 6-0-2, as they advance with that win into the district championship game with a record of 13-1-3 overall. And we have a JUCO women's soccer tonight in the regional semifinals. Got some good matchups today, rather. These are day games. Over in El Dorado, what a matchup. 11th-ranked Butler hosting 14th-ranked Hutchinson at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And in the other half of the bracket, you've got 19th-ranked Cowley visiting 7th-ranked Kansas City, Kansas at 5 p.m., an undefeated team. So, and those are semifinal games, all featuring nationally-ranked teams in JUCO women's soccer. All right, that is Sports with Steve and Ted, brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center. Provides detox, residential, and outpatient services for most insurances and veterans. Bel Air Recovery Center. Improves the lives they touch.
621 now. Keep it here for Dr. Sanjay Gupta. There are ways to lower your cancer risk. And he's going to tell you a few. That's coming up. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 6:30 on a Thursday morning, 44 degrees. Wichita police have arrested a 19-year-old female in connection with the fatal shooting of 13-year-old Donald Williams Halloween night outside a Quick Trip at Central and Oliver. The woman faces second-degree murder charges. A suspect in the shooting, Jermall Campbell, is still at large. Campbell is considered armed and dangerous.
Sedgwick County Election Commissioner Laura Rainwater tells KNSS News, Tuesday was a very good election.
You had talked about a 70% turnout. Did we get close to that?
No. Right now we're sitting at 60.6 percent turnout. So by the time you add in the unprocessed mail ballots that we've received, and then we still have provisional votes that will go before the Board of Canvassers. So you know, we'll end up, it won't even hit 65%, I don't believe.
And Rainwater says she can't explain why turnout was less than expected.
We still don't know if Democrats or Republicans are going to be in control of the U.S. House.
AP says getting the final tallies on several hard-fought House races from New York to California could still be days away. We do know two races in Virginia have been decided, but neither party gained any ground because of them. Republican Representative Jen Kiggins won re-election in southeastern Virginia, while Democrat Eugene Vindman won a seat in the northern part of the state. Vindman and his brother Alexander played roles in President-elect Trump's first impeachment. House Speaker Mike Johnson's been saying he's optimistic the House will stay in GOP control. Jill Nato, Fox News.
A Colorado postal worker arrested for allegedly forging mail in ballots.
Letter carrier Vicki Lynn Stewart and a friend have been arrested and accused of stealing at least a dozen mail-in ballots and sending them in with fraudulent votes. The pair claims it was an attempt to test the security of Colorado's voting system, which is done mostly by mail. The district attorney's office says the scheme was uncovered when signatures on the ballot envelopes didn't match the voters' signatures on file. When the voters were contacted, they said they'd never gotten their ballots. The pair could face charges of forgery and identity theft. Jack Callahan, Fox News.
The Connect with a Veteran movement encourages all Americans to go beyond a simple thank you, pause, and be intentional in showing appreciation and connection to the nation's 17 million veterans.
USAA is calling for a national movement of gratitude with the launch of the Connect with a Veteran movement. Whether it's reaching out to a neighbor or a friend who served to see how they're doing, taking a veteran to get a cup of coffee or a meal, or showing up at a Veterans of Foreign Wars post, an American Legion assembly, or even a Veterans Administration hospital to introduce yourself, say hello, and listen to their stories. While connecting with a veteran at any time on Veterans Day is appropriate, you're encouraged to do so at 11 a.m. local time on November 11th, as a nod to Armistice Day, the precursor to Veterans Day, which effectively ended World War I in 1918. Americans can also go beyond November 11th to show appreciation of veterans and make an impact through events, volunteering, and donating to causes like Face the Fight, a Veteran Suicide Prevention Initiative, Reach Resilience, and the Humana Foundation. To learn more about how you can participate and show your appreciation on November 11th and beyond, click on the link in our news story. This salute to service is brought to you by Jimmy's Family Diner, a Wichita tradition since 1987. We invite you to read more stories about veterans and active military on our webpage at knssradio.com. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
And now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
More clouds move in today. Only a 10% chance of rain, though. After a chilly start this morning in the 40s, cool afternoon with a high of 58. Winds are going to be breezy out of the northeast at 10 to 20 miles an hour, turning damp tonight as rain chances go up. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
And now a few clouds, northeast wind at 9 miles per hour and 44 degrees. With Steve at 10 in the morning here on Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Today is Thursday, the 7th day of November, and it was on this date in 1917, Russia's Bolshevik Revolution took place. As forces led by Vladimir Ilyich Lenin withdrew the provisional government, overthrew, that is, the provisional government of Alexander Kerensky. Of course, for a long time, there had been kind of a puppet government for the czar, but now they have made a decision. That was in 1917, Ted.
During World War One.
Yeah, and of course, there's a lot of information about it. I like Dr. Zhivago because it's told a pretty accurate picture, I think, of what was going on there, written by a Russian. Who knew? So, yeah, the grand experiment, it lasted until just a few years ago. Then they tried democracy, and now they got a dictator.
Yeah, so
it is a huge,
the problems with Russia continue.
They call it the Soviet Socialist Republic of Socialists. Anyway, There are about 9 different areas that speak different languages. It's a huge, huge area.
Massive country.
I would say it was just impossible to govern in any way. But they try.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
And there you go. Of course, my son based his career on knowing about Russia and Russian, the language and everything. I don't know how he got involved in that when he was young, but there you go. And he can tell you anything you want to know about it. But anyway, the revolution, 1917. A British doctor who was disgruntled about his inheritance and tried to kill his mother's boyfriend by injecting him with a fake COVID-19 vaccine that was actually poison has been sentenced to 31 years in prison. This is in London. Dr. Thomas Kwan disguised himself as a nurse, making home visits to inject Patrick O'Hara with a flesh-eating poison because he believed the older man stood in the way of his inheriting his mother's home.
Sounds someday. Like something you would make up for a movie script.
Yeah.
But it's real. It happened.
A judge says Kwan's audacious plan nearly succeeded.
Yeah, the guy survived.
Yeah. And the 53-year-old doctor pleaded guilty last month in Newcastle Crown Court to attempted murder.
But he was in the hospital for quite a while.
Well, you see these, my wife likes to watch these Dateline shows and things, you know, where they take about an hour to tell you a story that could be told in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Because they interview the same people and then they go back and run the same interview mm-hmm. again and again for another 30, 40
And they
40
show
minutes.
The same 8 photos.
Yeah. Again.
For an hour. Yeah.
They milk it. But anyway, so how many times, if you look at it on these stories, is somebody who was going to inherit insurance, thought they were going to get
it for
insurance
money.
Yeah. Or they had a girlfriend who wanted some more money. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the crime, the human nature, I guess. 6:37, Stephen Ted of the Morning. The election is in the can, so to speak. I'm looking at my Facebook this morning, and there are a good many people, friends on my Facebook, who are not pleased. I'll just put it that way. 6:37 now, Stephen Ted. Time for our KNSS Commodities Update with Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Steve and Ted. Have not heard of any cash cattle trade taking place in our feed yards as of yet. On the opening yesterday, the live cattle and the feeder cattle futures all gapped higher. They then traded higher and closed on the positive side. The feeders were able to close with triple-digit gains. Now, some of the support likely came from the Dow, being up as much as 1,450 points. The lean hog futures traded mixed as they scored some 7-session lows, then closed positive. At the close yesterday, December live cattle, 62 cents higher, 185.40. January feeders, $1.67 higher, 244.02. December lean hogs up $1 at 82.12. Now, early trading yesterday was negative for the wheat, corn, and soybean futures. Buying brought them off their lows to close two-sided. The corn and the soybean oil ended the day with the best upside despite the U.S. dollar being up over a buck and a half. This afternoon, the feds are expected to lower rates by 25 basis points, and Friday is the monthly USDA supply and demand report. At the moment, December Kansas City wheat's 0.75 cents higher, 574.75. December corn up 1 cent at 427.25. January beans up 9.75 at 10.13.5. December crude oil 73 cents lower at 70.96. December gold down a 40 cents at 2675.90. December S&P 14.5 points higher at 5973. While December dollar index is 34 cents lower at 104.65. And December Dow Jones futures up 85 points at 43,986. For commodity trading, ag marketing, or managed trading programs, contact Leffler Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
Well, Tom, in a few days, a couple of weeks, several weeks, we're going to have a new president sitting in Washington, D.C., who has been a president before. And at cabinet level, just for my information, the Secretary of Agriculture, I presume, is a cabinet-level position, is it not?
Yes, it is.
How much power does that person have, actually, over that big old agriculture department?
Well, that's a good question because it's varied over history of how much influence they've had on agriculture policy. So it probably is going to depend on who gets that position. So far, I've not heard of any real candidates for it yet, but it's a little bit early, but we ought to be starting to hear some of that before too long.
It's interesting. We had a Secretary of Agriculture from right here for several years, a guy named Dan Glickman. And
that was right.
An interesting choice. I don't know. I can't tell. Do you know, did he do a pretty good job, or do you remember?
Overall, he done okay. You know, one of the keys about picking somebody that gets a lot of influence is what part of the United States they come from. Because then sometimes it seems that maybe some agricultural policy reflects more on the region they come from, where the crops are grown, and stuff like that. So yeah. It's an interesting pick when it does take place.
Now, that makes sense. All right. Thank you, Tom. We'll check with you again tomorrow morning, 6:40. Steve, that's Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. Every morning at around 6:35, here is Steve and Ted. Coming up, Don Grant, CFP, the Money Tracker. How did we get the Fed? All right. History. But Don Grant, coming up. Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS. Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS, 6:45 here on a Thursday morning. Three big things.
Three.
Woman arrested in Halloween killing a 13-year-old boy in East Wichita. Male shooter still at large.
Two.
Trump begins search for White House help. President Biden will speak to the nation tonight.
One.
One person dead, one injured after a shooting in North Wichita. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Traffic volumes in Wichita picking up. You can see that on those Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras. Not seeing it slowing down on the highways, though, so that's good news. But as the traffic volumes continue to pick up, you're going to see slowdowns around the road construction up there at the North Junction. We do have a little bit of heavy traffic right now, pretty close to 47th Street South and Broadway, especially northbound on Broadway there. Traffic update. 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Becoming partly sunny today with a high of 58 degrees. 50% chance for rain tonight, the overnight low 44. Then on Friday, a 70% chance for rain. Tomorrow's high, 53 degrees. Now a few clouds. Northeast wind at 9 miles per hour. 44 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station. 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. Netflix is reducing its number of interactive shows.
Fox on Tech.
Netflix's interactive shows are disappearing. The streaming service says it will reduce its interactive content from 24 to 4 shows by December 1st, with Black Mirror, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Bear Grylls specials being the only ones to remain. The company says the technology for interactive shows is limited and doesn't serve the same purpose as it looks to use its technological efforts in other ways. Interactive shows described by the streaming site are movies, shows, or trivia that you control the story, answer the questions, and more. With some interactive specials letting you decide what happens next, you can play interactive specials on most newer devices like streaming media players, smart TVs, game consoles, computer browsers, Android phones, as well as iPhones and iPads. But the first ever interactive TV show was introduced way back in 1953. It was called Winky Dink and You, and it encouraged kids to draw on the screen. That show aired for 5 years. With Fox on Tech, I'm Eamon Dignam, Fox News.
A post-election rally on Wall Street Wednesday. Stocks set new records, the Dow closing up 1,507 points.
At the close, the S&P higher by 146, the NASDAQ rising 544. Cyclicals, financials, energy, and industrial sectors up more than 3%. NVIDIA and Amazon hitting all-time highs. On the flip side, solar and alternative energy stocks were slammed. Treasury yields also soaring, the 10-year surging above 4.3% to a four-month high. In New York, Jerry Willis, Fox News.
KNSS News Time, 6:48 here on this Thursday morning. Time for Don Grant, CFP, the Money Tracker. How did we get the Fed, Don?
Well, good morning,
Santa Claus. Santa Claus brought it to us.
Yeah, that's it. You might find this interesting. You know, Most of the time, the Federal Reserve is one of the most, you know, it's one of those government agencies that exists sort of in the background. But when there's an economic event that threatens the financial stability of the United States, the Fed steps in and takes actions to try to right the ship. The Federal Reserve, or the Fed, was born out of crisis. The bankers' panic of 1907 was a banking and stock market breakdown that preceded the creation of the Federal Reserve System. A group of businessmen attempted to manipulate the stock price of a mining company called United Copper. The group had financed their holdings in United Copper on margin. That means that they borrowed the money from brokers who held the shares as collateral. Now, the stock price dipped, which meant the investors were compelled to cover those losses by injecting more capital, which they didn't have. They devised a plan that initially drove up the price, but it crashed the market. And what happened was financial papers covered that saga, which fueled the distrust over other banking interests that those investors had. And they were really not in jeopardy, but the frenzy got people all lathered up about it. Those banks failed and created a domino effect and other banks and stock holdings. The United Copper scheme sparked panic because the financial system was becoming very complex and had very little regulation. Shared financial interests across financial institutions caused liquidity problems. 6 years after the United Copper crash, the Federal Reserve Act was signed into law. It established the Fed and gave it the authority to supervise banks and manage money supply. The Federal Reserve System performs several functions that include ensuring financial stability, developing monetary policy, regulating and supervising banks, payment systems, and serving consumers. They do this through a board of governors in D.C. and 12 Federal Reserve banks across the nation, and they are, at least for now, independent, and that's the way they should stay. And, of course, if you have any questions, you can give me a call over at Sabre Wealth. The number is 267-0600.
I'm not sure how it works, but I understand that the Fed is going to lower the interest rate again.
November 11th, they're probably going to drop it at least a quarter of a point. And I doubt if it'll go a half, but probably a quarter.
When you say they do that, how do they do that? Do they just arbitrarily say you can't do more than this?
They control the money supply that banks borrow overnight.
Okay.
You know, just for temporary things. And so when they control that, they have the ability to say, well, we want it to be 5% or 3% or 6% or whatever.
So, but the crucial part of what you told us is it needs to be independent.
It needs to remain independent. You get politicians in there, and it's going to be a show.
So when you talk about trying to control inflation, you're talking about an independent board that no president is responsible for.
You're completely right. They are responsible for assigning who is the Fed. I mean, they put the person in office.
Put there. Yeah,
and actually,
yeah.
It's one party may put somebody in, and the other party may say that person's doing fine, just leave them alone. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes other ones will put it in, but I don't know of any real time that I've seen where the Fed has somebody's tried to manipulate it.
And I saw some video of one of the candidates. I'm not going to say who was talking about eliminating layers of people at these departments in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what you know, but the civil service law is pretty tough.
I mean, I don't like government intervention any more than anybody, but I don't want politicians running it.
Okay. All right.
Because then they're going to do it for their own interests.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Well, what a market yesterday. Up 1,500 points on the Dow.
Yep.
We'll see what happens this morning.
That was a nice little sugar high, you know?
Maybe it'll go back down.
I mean, it's when you think about it, no president gets everything they promise done. As a matter of fact, they probably get about 30% of what they say they're going to do done. So yesterday was totally a sugar high. And I'm pretty sure it's going to level back out pretty soon, or it's not going to rise as quickly, because those things have to happen, and it's Congress that does that.
Yeah. So don't go out and get drunk on that.
I wouldn't, although, you know, if you were looking to sell something at a high, yesterday would have been a day to do it, perhaps. You know?
Today is, I even hate to bring this up, because today is National Men Make Dinner Day.
I do it every night.
If you three guys don't make your own dinners.
Yeah.
And I make my own Shelley's and mine about half the time now. So
I love to cook. Man, I tell you, it's so much fun just exploring different things. And
yeah.
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 How to open up a different can of,
I'm the same way. Whether I'm going to get that Salisbury steak.
TV dinner.
What's
what or are the turkey and dressing?
What were those frozen pucks of meat that had the little butter square pushed in there? The cube steaks, was it called?
Ooh, I don't remember.
That wasn't a steak. That was a piece of hamburger flattened out and pucked.
But I'm like you. There's a fun. If you got a recipe you're working on, well, it'll be fun. It doesn't matter if you're a male or female, for crying out loud.
I'd say last couple of years I've been making a sauce out of anything.
Really?
You fry anything, and then you pour a little wine in there to deglaze the pan, and then pour some cream in there, and damn, you pour it over a top, and it's great.
You got a little wine, a little cream. And
yeah, learn that right. In France.
Okay, so yeah. National Men Make Dinner Day, but we kind of do that. You guys do it every day, so there you go.
So that's all a very right. Sexist day.
It is. Terribly sexist.
I think if you dig up the history of that, it probably was done in like the 50s.
Yeah, yeah. It's hanging on. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. It's coming up on 6:55, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And our news at 7 o'clock, top of the hour this morning. Police are investigating a homicide in North Wichita and wildfires raging across parts of California. That's on the way with Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra IS. Saber Wealth is not affiliated with Kestra IS or Kestra AS.
After the funeral, when the cards and